But if you could get yourself to have this passive income coming in and you live off of that, how cool would that be?
Yeah, or have it as supplemental to your income. I mean, I was speaking to a doctor friend of mine, and he mentioned that a lot of doctors are very focused on their profession, on their craft. Obviously, it's very important because they're dealing with patients, that they forget to focus on their own, you know, wealth building journey and their own alternative kind of investments, alternative sources of income. They're just so focused, hey, I'm going to, you know, earn a living from, you know, being a doctor. What if a health situation happens? What if an emergency happens? Then, you know, they might not kind of have that income. But if they can create alternative sources of income passively, you know, that will supplement their income, and it can also grow. So
the key word, passively.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I interview the top commercial real estate investors and industry experts so you can learn from their experiences. So if you're an investor, a high W-2 earner, or real estate or tech sales professional that wants to invest in real estate without having to manage properties or leave your day job, then this podcast is for you. Or if you're already investing in real estate, but you're doing it part-time and you want to become a full-time multifamily or full-time commercial real estate investor, this podcast is for you too. You're going to learn a ton. You will learn from real-life multifamily investors and other professionals in the industry. They're going to share their blueprints for success, and I'm super excited that you're here. So I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, hello. This is Abel Pacheco, your host for the Five Talents Podcast. We are super excited today because we have an amazing guest, a group of guests here, Miss Ava and August with CPI. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in just a second, but just wanted to tell you both, thank you very much, you know, for the opportunity to just to hang out with you all for a little bit, because since I've met you, I realize you are putting out some really great information for investors in the Canadian real estate space. And you've been in there for about 15 years. So you're developers, you're owners, you do single family townhouses, development of different opportunities. Obviously, the Canadian structure is a little bit different than the US, which I'm excited about learning about. But both August and Ava, they've developed a compliant and tax efficient process for Canadians to invest in US multifamily syndications. And so that's how CPI Capital came about, and they're the host of CPI Academy, and they have an amazing YouTube show. That's where I originally met them. I got to spend a little time with them earlier this year, and they have been providing a lot of really good information for both US investors and their investors as well. And so I'm excited to have them. Really great couple, one of the power couples of syndications over here. So we're excited. August, Ava, thank you for joining. Let me turn it over to you. Give us a really quick, you know, give us an introduction. Tell us who you are, what you do, and we'll start a great conversation.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Abel.
We initially want to thank you, Abel, for having us on your show. We've had noticed you for a long time now. Obviously, you've been on our show and we've interviewed you and discussed you. And everywhere we look, Abel is there.
Abel's
on Clubhouse, on Facebook, on
You're
LinkedIn, everywhere. So it's exciting. We're glad to be on your show. But yeah, Ava, if you like to give a little bit of your background and how we find ourselves here in this world of U.S. multifamily.
This exciting world of U.S. multifamily. So a little bit about me. My background is being a real estate agent here in Canada for about a decade now, how time flies.
Yes.
I've helped hundreds of investors here in the Canadian market. And August and I joined forces and started up CPI Capital about a year and a half ago. The reason we did that was because we saw the need that Canadians have to invest in real estate, if you will. And there's not a whole lot of opportunity on this side of the border, Abel. So that's just a little bit about my background and why we got
for
CPI
sure, for
started.
Sure. Not only on the opportunity side, but also the difficulties and to get into becoming real estate investors. I mean, there's so much information that comes from the US. Invest in real estate. And you could buy a house in a lot of areas in the US for $150,000, $200,000. Here in Canada, $150,000 in most cases wouldn't be your down payment, especially in large metropolitan cities like Vancouver and Toronto. So yeah, I'll briefly tell you a bit about my background. I started my journey in real estate 16 years ago as a licensed agent. I wasn't very good at it like Ava was, but I was good at finding deals. So I started doing small fix and flips. And I was very good at doing so. And I started my own general contracting company, started building single family more on the luxury side. And eventually scaled my company to build multifamily development projects. Eventually came to a point that realized, you know, in multifamily development projects, that the terms are longer, especially here in Canada. There's so many different issues that come up, such as bureaucracy with City Hall. There is public hearings. So many unknown factors. You start out with a project. You do your performas, and by the time you're doing construction, by the time you're done, you know, all the numbers are changed. Vancouver also happens to be a very foreign investor. It's largely affected by foreign investment, people from China. Most people don't know this, but there's lots of people coming from Asia and China into Vancouver and Toronto, and that has affected our market here and has made real estate one of the most expensive places in the world. So something could happen in China that would affect the market here. So I was always looking for different type of asset classes to invest in. And I got introduced to, actually through a YouTube show I was watching, a guy named Dan Hanford.
I love it. We've had Dan on our show. He's great. And he's an advisor for a mastermind that I'm a part of. And he's a great individual. I learned a lot from him as well. So that's awesome. You too.
Yeah, where our journey started.
We saw Dan and then he was, this guy was buying already built apartment buildings. He was doing it. The equity was coming from his investors, and he was giving the blueprint on how he was doing this. So that was amazing to me, because on here, on this side of the border, Canadians are much more conservative. You don't have people.
You don't show your secrets.
They're not showing their secrets. It was very opaque for especially for me, kind of going through the grinder, the blood, sweat, and tears to eventually make it in the real estate business. But he was giving the blueprint. He was, you know, they would buy these already built apartment buildings. They would do some small renovation, and they would exit them 3 to 5 years, giving great returns back to their investors.
Returns we've never heard of in Canada.
Before. Yeah, but what shocked me to
16% plus. That's like, it's not an unheard of in real estate. I guess because of the high prices that you're paying over there, it's hard to eke out even a return that, right?
Not only the high prices, but it's also the rent to value ratio. So when I was looking at the deals, I got very curious to find out what these deals are. How are they able to give great returns when a project is completed and sold or upgraded and sold? But what shocked me is from the rents they collected on approximately 70-30 LTV, put down 30%, borrow 70% from the bank. They were able to pay their mortgage payment, pay the taxes and fees, pay the property manager, and still be left alone with, you know, 6 to 10% pref returns, meaning that the investor has to hit that return before the GP participates.
And so Abel, we're talking about, I've dealt with investors and I've negative cash flow on this side. Like
appreciation, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly. You play the appreciation game, and it's just, you know, the real estate is cyclical, so it's depending on when you're getting into it. But it doesn't matter if you're talking about a one-bedroom condo in Vancouver or a 100-unit apartment building. Yeah. As a real estate investor, when you're buying that, you're putting down 30%, you're in negative cash flow for years.
Yeah.
Or, you know, obviously, there's opportunistic deals to find, but all in all, when you're talking about what's happening in the U.S. and this scalable, repeatable model that exists, which has created groups like ours, it doesn't exist here on the southern border.
That's awesome. Well, it's good. It's good to hear a little bit more about this. And I'm going to pause you before we talk too much real estate, because just your backstory and a little bit more about you would be amazing for those that don't know you well. So y'all are married. Y'all have been together for a number of years. How long have y'all been married first? One question at a time.
Well, he proposed after 2 weeks.
August, smart man.
So just to say this, we have not promoted us being together since the first day. So this is the first time that we're actually openly saying that. I mean,
I'm breaking news here. I'm breaking news.
So in business, if it's on our LinkedIn profile or on the business we do, obviously questions come up at times.
Yeah.
And we're more than happy to let our associates know that we're also married, but it hasn't been an item where we've promoted or marketed. But we're married. I mean, it was match made in heaven. A developer falls in love with a real estate agent.
Yeah, that's awesome.
both very energetic, both very enthusiastic about life and business, both, you know, very sporty, healthy, athletic, you know, just so many.
Congratulations.
So to be able to add real estate and for me to be able to be excited about, you know, business or real estate and talk about this new concept that I was seeing. And it was right around that time where, when we met, when this concept of real estate private equity kind of, I started in it, and Ava saw it right away and fell in love and her nose, her business nose right away, you know, smelled the opportunity that existed. And it was that was it.
So I left being awesome. A realtor full time to solely build CPI.
To do this. All right.
Developer full time.
That's great.
Hands on. So we.
And she's what is Remax number one in her office. You know, I've had close to 100 tradesmen and suppliers that I've worked with over the years. All my networking connections was in development here locally. So for us to take that leap into U.S. multifamily, it must have been a good deal. It must have been a good offering that existed for us to do that. So,
well, that's awesome. It's good. It's great to hear. Thank you very much. You know, just for a little bit of letting us in your lives. So thank you. So Ava, how long were you a realtor for? How many years or
decade?
A decade. So 10 years. And did you start when you were, you know, like out of college or kind of in those time, or did you have a professional career before you were a realtor?
You know what? I had an office administration job, but when I was 22 years old, that's when I started my real estate career.
Why office administrator to realtor to a real estate agent first?
Good question, actually. I wanted to be a realtor the minute I graduated. I was 17 years old, but nobody would take me serious enough when I was that young. So I'm like, I got to develop myself more as a person here. I'm too young for people to take serious to help them with their biggest purchase of their life. Yeah. So I kind of built myself as a person. And then when I was ready, I took the plunge.
Okay, that's awesome. And to be number one Remax agent in your area, that's a feat. So you had a very successful career. And after 10 years, you probably had a lot of repeat buyers, a lot of clients, a lot of customers that you helped. And I'm imagining something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Referral based. But what I noticed that I was disappointing a lot of my investors because they wanted to put their money in real estate. So when I can go to my investors now and just say the words cash flow in real estate. The smiles that I get now is really incredible.
Well, the market was disappointing them. Yeah. The rigid mortgage laws that exist in Canada was disappointing them. The extremely high real estate prices was disappointing them. It wasn't necessarily Ava disappointing her investor, but it was the news.
She's probably delivering. She's finding the right property. And you don't become number one for no reason. Yeah.
Exactly. The medium home price here in Vancouver is $1.2 million. So,
That's a median income. That's a median house right there.
Median house price. So it's going to be hard for, and especially our mortgage laws are more difficult than the U.S. So for someone to debt service, you know, a 70-30 LTV, even a 65-35, it's very difficult. And now if they want to buy a secondary place or a third place to then be real estate investors, now you're compounding that even more.
Just very difficult.
And so throughout the years, Ava, it sounds like comps, market data, market approach, analysis, all that stuff kind of puts you in a pretty good spot for what you're doing today. I'm seeing.
Yeah,
exactly. And relationships. I mean, what kind of got my attention right away was the relationship Ava had with her clients. They were such personal. You know, at times real estate agents deal with clients as if they're just another person, another name. With Ava, that wasn't the case. I mean, the gift basket she sent to her clients when the home was sold or when they bought a place was incredible. Like, wow, you take, you know, an extra step, multiple extra steps for your clients. So, and in the world of private equity, I mean, when you're raising capital to do a deal, it again goes on those.
It's all about the relationships. The know, like, and trust is what I say. So it starts with that first, and then you can.
Yeah. Well, very good. And so you were serving them then. Now you're serving them differently. Same group of individual, I would imagine, followed you right into multifamily now.
Oh, right? Yeah. People are super curious. And you know what? Cool. they're learning with us. They're learning about this process of pooled capital, deploying it into the US. It's very scary for Canadians when you first start talking about it.
Yeah.
But now that they've been watching us and learning with us, people are getting real excited.
That's awesome. Well, thank you very much for the insight. And then you saw Mr. Developer over here through the years, huh? So he was developing properties, doing the deal, and y'all were both real estate folks, match made in heaven, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so, August, when did you jump into real estate as like the developer, as the owner, as a, you know, doing everything that you've done in your before today in multifamily syndication? For when did that start, and how did that go for you?
16 years ago, man. I was definitely put through the grinder, mm-hmm. like I mentioned. And like I was saying, that on the U.S. side, and especially today with social media and the YouTube, there's just so much content out there that you can build your career, whatever you want it to be. Whereas when I started, there wasn't a lot of information out there. So, lots of, obviously difficult times, and started as a licensed agent and, you know, doing small fix and flips, but I was good at finding deals. And that's still something that I'm pretty good at these days.
But
just kind of build my way up. And now we're here today.
That's awesome. So at what point did you say it's got to go multifamily? Was that a couple of years ago? Was that, when was the mental decision? We're going to go to multifamily one day,
sure.
or multifamily syndication.
I mean, yeah, it's so multifamily syndication is more recent, but as soon as I started in real estate, the dream, the plan, the goal was scalability, was to, you know, the stories you always hear about the guy who came to this country with 20 bucks in his pocket and he started doing fix and flips and is now building high rises. So that was always the dream and the goal. But in the development world, you know, what is not kind of advertised is the failures that exist, is the difficulties that exist, that it's so hard to, especially in a country like Canada, where it is not very business friendly, it's extremely high tax place. So it's not really advertised that how difficult it is to be able to scale your business. So, but from day one, that was the dream, that was the plan. The plan was to scale, but it took many kind of bricks and steps to be able to build and to try to scale the company to that stage, and eventually came to a realization that, hey, this thing is going to probably take me, you know, another 30 years to get to the level I want. And that's when I realized, came in, that you need to bring on investors. And I initially started with my family, close friends, business associates, and they invested in me in my projects. And this was a time when I was raising money before I even knew what raising money was, or the regulation around raising money, many other items that we're going through now, and kind of the structure we've created to allow Canadians to invest into the U.S. and compliantly, like you mentioned earlier. So yeah, the dream from early on, the dream was to scale and to grow and to manage a big, large investment firm, which does large projects. But to get there, the reality was hard, and you know, it was very difficult to kind of go through. But excited to be here, excited to be on this new venture that we're pursuing in the U.S. And yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's a tremendous story so far. So thank you very much. I think people will kind of see, they always ask me, well, how did you get started? Well, so if they're curious about me, they're always curious about, I guess, like how does somebody do what they're doing today? And it's that overnight success thing. It's like, oh yeah, you're blowing up. You've got all these doors and all this stuff. They're like, yeah, but we've been doing this for 13 years. Y'all have been doing this for years and years and years. And that's why today it can be, you know, become more of a, just an easier pivot for you, because you've spent so much time, effort, energy, you're really all passionate, it sounds like, too, into this. And now you're going to have a very successful career as the syndication. So tell us what you do today. Sorry to take so much time to learn about you, but it's very interesting. So I appreciate it. Tell us about what it is you do today. So today you're providing really great education for a lot of investors that are trying to figure out how to learn more about U.S. investing, and giving them an avenue. And you're also looking for deals and opportunities, and you know, just tell us a little bit about today's activities.
For sure. And I mean, it all began with me and Ava when we, like we talked about Dan Hanford, realizing, hey, this is great. How do we do it? We have to get involved in this. So initially was I was planning to invest in these deals myself and be the only investor, be the GP and LP and everything. But then we realized there isn't a lot of content available for Canadians looking to invest in the US. There's not a lot of content when it comes to raising capital in Canada, the structures that are needed, the cross-border taxation implications. And that was the impetus for us to start our own YouTube show. And I mean, the first 6 months, we were on tens and tens of calls.
So many calls.
With cross-border lawyers, accountants, figuring out the structures that are needed for Canadians to be able to invest in the U.S., how to raise money in Canada, how to raise money in the U.S. So,
and educating our Canadian partners, the terminology between the U.S. and Canada is very different as well. So we were also educating them on that. So really,
for sure. Yeah, we started our YouTube show and we started getting a lot of following. We have over 2,000 people that have signed up to our content, our newsletter. Ava is on constant calls daily. Myself, I'm on a few calls daily about talking with investors and partners.
Yeah, because there's this exciting thing that August and I are talking about now, right? People want to, they're like, wow, I want to learn more about this. But keep in mind, it takes some time for them to educate themselves and understand this concept. Ava, the funniest thing that one of my advisors here in Canada told me was, Ava, bring down the returns you're speaking about. Don't say 15%, because then everybody has said, that sounds way too good to be true. So then it's like this thing that's too good to be true. So one of our advisors was literally like, take it down a notch, you guys, even though we're like so excited, these returns.
Yeah. Well, you know, we kind of do the same, but we're adjusting them from 19, 18 is what we see on a pro forma. And then they're like, let's make it a little more conservative. And it sounds like it's just a different, in the US, you can kind of put this, the higher, and I try to under promise and over deliver. Hello. Hello. You're listening to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. If you're enjoying this podcast, then I know you're serious about achieving financial freedom. Are you ready to create your own path through multifamily investing for yourself and your family? Then I know you're going to appreciate our investor's guide to multifamily investing. It's titled Tackling Commercial Real Estate the Easy Way. We use this guide to invest ourselves in $93 million worth of real estate. So we're going to show you the basic mechanics of multifamily syndications and how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity. So the best part, if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review and a rating, I'm going to give you a free copy of our ebook. So please take a moment to do that now. Once you've done that, go to 5tcre.com/ebook, 5tcre.com/ebook. Make sure to let us know you left a review and we're going to send you a free copy. So thank you so much for subscribing to the Five Talents Podcast. We really appreciate it.
That's a great thing. But when Canadians are so excited,
even 15 is high, yeah.
Well, they're excited about 5-6% annual returns.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And
that's gross. That's not net.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Table and we're like, hey, this new opportunity, they're like, wait a second,
yeah, bring that down to 10 and you're gonna win a bunch of deals.
Exactly. So
education has been a big part of how we started approaching things, getting people to sign up. And now we have the investors kind of waiting on the sideline, hey guys, now we're on board, where's the deal at? Okay. So now August and I have been putting our energy on obviously partnering with active operators in the US who have the great track record on that side of the border, and we'll be presenting deals to our investors.
Here. Yeah. And for me to add to that a bit. So we start CPI, we start our educational platform. We get a lot of engagement. People are signing up. And now, in this idea of real estate syndication where you bring syndication is basically you bring kind of the knowledge and the experience to and one side and the capital on the other side to do a project together. So real estate syndication is basically bringing in a deal, being able to manage that deal and having the expertise. And then you bring on the capital that's needed through investors. So we're like, okay, the investor part is looking good. We're having a lot of soft commitments. We're having people interested in investing with us. They're asking us for deals. Now, on the deal side, you know, if CPI, and originally the plan was for CPI to be the operator, to scout the deals, to manage the deals, to upgrade them, to eventually exit the deals. But as time went on, and with so much, you know, so much excitement on this side of the border, as far as investors, we're like, okay, it makes more sense for us to come up with the areas we want to, regions we want to invest in. So let's say we want to be in Arizona, Texas, and North and South Carolina. Let's say those are our top three regions. It might make more sense for us to partner with active operators in those regions rather than just being the investor partner, the equity partner. We come on board as the general partner, be involved in every aspect of the deal from scouting it to underwriting, to due diligence, and bring our investors, bring our fund into our U.S. partners kind of partnership to be able to do the deal. So that's how we've structured it currently. Not saying that CPI doesn't have plans to be the operator at one point either, but this allows for our investors to then have multiple deals come through and then cherry pick the best deals they want to invest in, the best returns, you know? Yes.
Awesome. So that's really cool. I'm excited for you all. So really at this point, what do you foresee the markets that you guys are looking for in the US?
Well, Arizona seems to be a market that Canadians are very familiar with. They're called snowbirds down there. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's billions of dollars of Canadian funds being invested in Arizona. The issue we're seeing with Arizona, the deals we're looking at with our partners, is that the deal flow is not as strong. The cap rates are being compressed so that rent to value ratio, where it allows for the surplus to be paid out to investors on the cash flow, is not hitting the targets that we initially started with. So we are very opportunistic. We're looking at deals. We're looking at multiple operators. We're currently partnered with a group in Arizona who present us with deals.
And the cool part is we follow the numbers, right, Abel? So we kind of follow the numbers. Arizona's a super hot market right now, multiple offers, people are overpaying and so forth. So it's kind of nice to have operators in different states. You can kind of truly follow the numbers and then bring capital on as the 51st state, if you will.
Yeah, I love it. The 51st.
There you go.
That's awesome. Okay. Texas, well,
in Texas, we have multiple operators that we're in conversations with. Again, the deal flow hasn't been to the amount that we would like. If there has been deals that haven't fully matched our criteria that we look for as far as the multifamily value add. But in the Carolinas, we're looking at a deal currently, and it's in partnership with, am I at liberty to say who's, but there's a deal we're currently looking at with an active operator in the Carolinas, and we're probably going to be presenting it to our investors shortly here. So we're excited about that for sure.
All right. Drum roll, please. Well, that's great. That's great for you all. I'm like super excited. I love anybody that's taking the amount of action that you are is going to win. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. And what happens, I think I see a lot of on my side is a lot of people in the whatever country, when they talk to me, it's like, I want to do multifamily investing. I want to be a syndicator. I want to be a passive investor. I want to retire young, whatever the goal is that comes out of their mouth. The next questions that I usually ask is, well, what's your plan and how are you going to get there? And what are, you know, I know your goals, but have you thought about your strategic goals or your tactical plans to kind of get there? And if it's a yes, at least I know they're one step ahead of somebody else, but it's the action that most people don't take and they never have any kinds of traction whatsoever. And, you know, if you want to be an owner in 1,000 doors, you got to start with one or 10 or 100, or you have to take some kind of action. You have to make that next one, you know, that next action, make, you know, really forward progress on the goal, right? Even if you lose, even if you can't get it, even if you fell down or hit your, you know, scuffed your knees a little bit, the point is you've taken the action and now you know how to avoid the same thing that tripped you up and you're better equipped for the next time and you go get it. So y'all are taking some massive action over there. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. And I'm excited.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. We're excited. I mean, it is exactly that, Abel, that people who are much smarter than us, much more educated, much more successful, giving us a pat on our back and saying, this is incredible what you guys have done, allowing Canadian investors to invest in the U.S., be relieved from double taxation.
I was going to say, wait a second, we didn't talk about the most exciting thing here.
Yes, for sure.
My parents right away were asking me about, everybody says, well, how do you guys handle tax? Are we going to be double taxed in Canada? And then when we make income in the U.S., well, when it comes back, we got to pay taxes on that. So August and I mean, through our beautiful, like, talking to so many lawyers and accountants.
Research.
We have set up our corporate structure through a web of corporations, limited partnerships. The Canadians are relieved from double taxation. So that's not something they have to worry about. And how are they relieved from double taxation? Because there's a treaty that exists between Canada, a tax treaty that exists between Canada and the U.S. And this is something I educated my accountant parents on. So they're
what did your dad say to you? Your
dad's dad was like, Ava, you got to patent this, what you guys are doing. And I'm like, Dad, this is not something I can patent.
Yeah. So the treaty exists, but
it exists.
To put the, really? The structure in place, that's the kind of a difficulty. It can be done, but
it's just a lot of work.
It's just a lot of work.
Especially for one person that wants to put, you know, 100,000, 200,000 in.
Economically, doesn't make sense.
It's just too much. So for them to just be able to be on the side of the border with us, write a check, sit back, relax, receive cash flow from day one, and get these type of returns they've never seen before, that's why we've left our careers. That's why we're here full force.
Boom, double boom.
help people build wealth.
Yeah,
and money growing. I mean,
looking across the border and other syndicators and other investors that exist, and you know, that they're competing within the market, and you know, and they're getting their product in front of investors. We felt like that, hey, we might have a monopoly on this side of the border, because now we're allowing Canadians to invest into the U.S., take benefit up from pooled capital, take benefit from limited liability, take benefit from relief from double taxation. You know, so the better returns that exist. And, you know, that's why we got so excited about what we're doing.
So now people can see why we left, you know, what we loved doing.
Very successful in careers, very successful individuals.
Yes.
In your careers. You don't leave just for no reason.
And one more item to add.
We know we're going to be able to help so many people.
Exactly. And one more item to add. I mean, as far as the benefits that exist now, most U.S. Operators don't accept Canadian investors because there's legality and issues and difficulties that exist and tax items. And their Canadian investors are requested to create an LLC and invest through the LLC, but that doesn't make it tax efficient. But another very important item that some fail to realize is that Canadians are very conservative. Now, this idea of know, like, and trust, they got to really know you, they got to really like you, and they got to really trust you if they're going to invest with you.
Yeah.
But with our situation, even though we're partnering with a U.S. operator who's been, you know, audited by us, and we've seen their track record, and we're coming on board as the lead GP, there is recourse for the Canadian investor. If they invest into a U.S. operator and they do it directly, if there is something unscrupulous that happens, we're involved in international litigation.
But with us, they
can feel, touch it right here.
So they're investing in a Canadian entity.
They're investing in a Canadian fund.
That's the cool thing, right?
So their recourse is in place for them here. So that kind of alleviates that other pain point that exists for investors. So
what a beautiful model. You guys are, that's awesome. I love it. Well, shoot. What's the next steps? How do I help you more? on this side, I will say, what else is there that we can bring some additional exposure to while we're here? Because we're on Facebook Live. We're recording our podcast. We're gonna get this out on all the social parts of it. But is there anything else that you know, we can bring some additional exposure while we're here?
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, it goes back to our passion, which is educating others. We actually enjoy it. We really enjoy it, speaking with others, educating Canadians. We have meetup groups all across Canada. We have, you know, our other mastermind monthly events. So we love to kind of, you know, if you are a Canadian investor, doesn't matter what level of investing you're in, get in touch with us. You know, we'd be more than happy to kind of add value to your investment
journey.
Yeah,
we'll drop some gold. We'll drop some serious gold that will help you build your investment portfolio.
Absolutely. Yeah. If it's partnering with us, if it's pointing you to the right direction, if it's giving you, you know, the information that you need to be successful, we're more than happy to do that. You know, we're easy people to find. You know, you can just search CPI Capital. You know,
very active or on LinkedIn.
CPICapital.ca. We're very much on LinkedIn. So August Binias, Ava Benesaki, CPICapital.ca.
I mean, and then we host meetups where you can join the group. Everybody puts their camera on. It's a networking event. You can ask questions. And August and I we're always on the quest to educate ourselves. So anything that we find new and exciting, we share that right away with our followers. And it's always fun. Always learning.
We'll put all those links in our show notes so that we can, you know, people can easily click and find you all. So that's awesome. That's really great. Well, and on the wealth side of it, you mentioned two words that I like: create wealth. And from somebody who really comes from me, my parents didn't have wealth. They were able to help me sign on a loan for my college loans or whatever. And that was enough help for me. At that time, they couldn't pay for anything, but just said, hey, here's a, you know, yes, I'll co-sign for you. And I got a loan. I take it from college to go work in professional career and make a little bit of money to invest. And that was enough of a head start. But my mindset for my children is, now that we know more than my last generation, I want to teach them more than for our next generation. We're trying to figure out that part of it. So can you give any other wisdom or knowledge for those that are trying to create wealth? Obviously, we want to invest in real estate, but just get any insight, any knowledge, any wisdom you can to somebody says, well, I want to create wealth. How do I do that? Obviously, through real estate, but you know, any of the general insight or wisdom and knowledge, mindset, paradigm, whatever you think will help our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I talk on a lot of woman empowerment things and shows and I'm a speaker a lot, but I always mention this one word: diversify. So I know what we're bringing to the table is great. Real estate is great, but diversification is a great way to have your investment portfolio that's helping you build your wealth kind of on track. Get your money working for you while you sleep. So one thing I'm actually getting my parents, they have that old school thinking, right? But now that I know that, you know, they love to see the money grow in the bank account, but they're not, what am I trying to say here?
Yeah,
it's not working for them.
Yeah, you're leaving your bank, money, your money in the bank account might not be the best place to invest. You're investing in a bank account, but to be able to then make your money work for you, just like Ava was trying to do.
Find things that are going to help you make your money work for you while you do what you love, while you're hanging out with family. And that's what,
absolutely great.
What I'd like to say there.
Sure. You've worked really hard for your money. Now you have to make your money work hard for you.
There you go.
If you just put your money in your bank account, it maybe alleviates a little bit of that feeling like, I don't have enough. What happens if I'm in an emergency or something? Then you have some. But if you continue to do that, you're going to have to keep actively feeding that bank account. That's the only way it grows. And we're all trading time for money. If that's our plan, to work as hard as we can and save it. If it doesn't grow, then we're tied to the job, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah, jeez. Absolutely. One really cool person I talked to, Jeremy Roll, he actually lived off of his passive income. So he set himself up so that he can literally figure out, obviously,
he's a professional passive investor.
But if you could get yourself to have this passive income coming in and you live off of that, how cool would that be?
Yeah, or have it as supplemental to your income. I mean, I was speaking to a doctor friend of mine and he mentioned that a lot of doctors are very focused on their profession, on their craft. Obviously, it's very important because they're dealing with patients, that they forget to focus on their own, you know, wealth building journey and their own alternative kind of investments, alternative sources of income. They're just so focused, hey, I'm going to, you know, earn a living from, you know, being a doctor. What if a health situation happens? What if an emergency happens? Then, you know, they might not kind of have that income, but if they can create alternative sources of income passively, you know, that will supplement their income and it can also grow. So
the key word, passively.
Passively. I know a bunch of single family investors that say, hey, I can make more on a return than your deals. And I go, I know you can, but how many hours, how much time, effort, and energy, how much risk, legal, loan risk, everything else that do you have to put in to make more? It's not passive by any means. And then to your point, yeah, I work with a lot of professionals that are investors, and they take so much time, effort, and energy to get their craft up, to be tremendously high earners. There was no classes in that professional, their career, about how to make their money multiply without their work, without their effort into it. And so if those individuals are listening, you know, we absolutely reach out to me, reach out to Ava, reach out to August. If you're in Canada, definitely reach out to them 100%. And they would absolutely love to help. So this has been a tremendous conversation. I really appreciate it. We mentioned your website. We mentioned how to get a hold of you, right? Is there anything else we didn't cover today that you really wanted to, you know, any topic in general? I think we covered a good bit, but if there's anything else, floor is yours.
No, that's all, you know.
I was just happy to come on. Abel's always the happiest person. Yes. So I was excited to see that smile.
Abel is like, get your smile on, I guess. Abel is going to be there with his, you know, nice smile, always happy, always upbeat. And that's important in life as well, right? I mean, if I always wish health, wealth, and happiness on my loved ones and friends and associates. But, you know, I mean, it all doesn't matter if happiness is not there. It's so important. And we love seeing you. We love see your smile. We love see your upbeat and energetic attitude. So, you know, we're here to add value to you and your listeners.
Avery. Thank you very much. It was an amazing conversation. I appreciate it. We'll have to have you come out to our meetup as well. And thank you very much. My name is Abel Pacheco. I'm your host for the Five Talents Podcast. Ava, August, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Ava.
All right. If you got some value out of today's show, I know you did. Go to our podcast, subscribe, rate, and review. Leave us a written review. It absolutely helps us. And go reach out to August and Ava and tell them you heard them on our show. And I would be blessed to hear that. And thank you very much for the opportunity. We'll see you on our next show. Bye-bye, y'all. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Five Talents Podcast with your host, myself, Abel Pacheco. Each week, we're going to bring you interviews from industry experts and commercial real estate investors who followed their dreams and achieved massive success. Before you leave, let me ask you a few questions. Did you enjoy this episode? Did you learn something valuable? Was your mind stretched to what's possible and what you can achieve? Do you want other experts just like the one you heard today? If you answered yes to any or all of those questions, then please take a moment to subscribe to the Five Talents Podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and most importantly, leave us a written review. Tell us what you liked, tell us your favorite guest, give us any feedback. I'm excited to learn and improve so you can get a more valuable show. So thank you again for subscribing to the Five Talents Podcast.